take the hardest heart and soften it. And I pray, dear Father God, right now that if there is any heart, in this house that is hardened towards you, dear Father, that you'd use the words, that you'd use your truth to soften that heart. Dear Father God, we lift you up and we pray that if there's anyone in this room that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that they would not leave these doors without making that commitment today. It's in your holy and blessed name we pray. Amen. Well, just a real quick testimony. I grew up with Tim, and I'm sure he's most likely has shared with you guys, probably on numerous occasions, those of you who know him, about his family life and growing up, because it was quite eventful. And I'm sure he's able to draw quite a few sermons from his family life without even trying hard. So we grew up in a small church locally here, a little Catholic church, and it was a nice place. And as in all Catholics, you go through the thing with the first communion when you're about first grade, and then the later on when you're fourth grade, I believe it's a confirmation process where you stand up and you profess Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. And you go through the motions and you say what they tell you to say, and you receive your little Bible or whatever it is they give you, or a cross or whatever, at the end of the ceremony. And it's a nice little ceremony. And I'm positive for some people it's a life-changing experience, and for others it's just another experience. And for me, when I went through that experience as a fourth grader, I believed what I was saying. But the problem was that there was a difference between believing and speaking a few words, and here's the problem. What was missing was Romans 10:9 and 10:10. I'm going to read those two verses for you, and you'll understand what was missing between just making the profession and actually believing it. And Romans 10:9 and 10:10 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For this is your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you are confessed and saved. So those were missing. Grew up in church. Went through church all the time, went to college, still sort of went to church when I was in college. Occasionally, I'd walk to the Catholic church in town. It was close enough to where I was living to walk. And in all those years of going to church, I don't know that I ever remember a single message that I heard, not one. In the many, many years I spent going to church, got out of college and built a little testimony there, which I really don't think is necessary to share, but obviously drifted away from the church. But even after I got my job in Atlanta, was working in there and living with a bunch of friends, but actually a bunch of my college buddies moved down to Atlanta, and some of us were working together, others weren't, and doing the things young men do, and just drifted away and drifted away and drifted away, to the point to where, I'd go to church, but it would never really mean anything. As a matter of fact, I can specifically remember going to church after partying all night on a Saturday night and going to church with a hangover. So at least I did something, and it was my upbringing that kept me connected to the church. But I was searching. I was searching for something that I was not finding. And I knew that there was something there, and I knew that there was something more, and I knew that there was a place in my heart that was not filled. There was a place in just as Romans 10:10 says, that it's with your heart, the confession of your heart, that you're saved. It has nothing to do with your mouth. It has nothing to do with repeating what you're asked to be said. And so as I continued to grow and mature, I got married at the age of 25, and to a lovely little lady that was saved, and she went to a Methodist church. So now I had an opportunity to go to a Methodist church occasionally, as well as the Catholic church. And the Methodist church had a wonderful little preacher, little old fellow that's passed away now. He used to write poetry. He was a great guy. I loved him. And he got me searching more. But again, I never connected the dots. Never could really connect the dots. There was still something missing. I heard more of the message, did not actually get the dots connected as to what it really took to fill that hole that was in my heart. And I'd say I was probably about 28 or 29. We moved into our first house out of the mobile home that we were living in. And we had a pesky neighbor across the street from us that kept coming across, you know, he'd come across the street and he'd talk with us. Every time he'd come up, he'd invite us to church. He said, oh, the church is close by. It's just right down the street. It's a little Baptist church down here. And I just said, no, we go to church occasionally, which was the truth, probably about every other Sunday at best. We'd go sometimes to my church, sometimes to her church, sometimes to no church. But he kept coming over and asking us, and he put up with me because the first thing I'd ask him to walk indoors if he wanted a beer. You know, you want a beer? And no, he'd just decline. He continued to invite me. One day he come up and he goes, hey, you know what? It's a Sunday night. We're having a special service tonight. He goes, we got a couple of baseball players from the Braves that are going to be coming. You know, and of course, this is the 90s, so if anybody in here follows baseball, in the 1990s, the Braves were a team to be reckoned with. They already had a championship under their belt, and they had several pennants. They had, like, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 10 pennants in a row. And so I followed the Braves. We enjoyed them. We watched them. We went to see a bunch of games. And I thought, well, you know, this would be cool. It's Terry Pendleton. Everybody know the name Terry Pendleton? Third baseman for the Braves during their series stretch. And he's a big old beefy guy. At that point, he had already retired and was coaching in Florida. But he was coming back to Atlanta. And he was invited by a fellow named Tim Cash, which is another. He's got 2 or 3 World Series rings, Tim Cash does. And Tim happened to actually live just right down the street from me there in Lawrenceville, and he had a ministry going where he invited sports stars, and they use that opportunity for the sports stars to come in and share a testimony, and then of course the gospel afterwards. And so he invited Terry Pendleton, and they came up to this church. I said, well, you know, I got to come and see that. So I was late like normal. My wife says I'll be late for my funeral, and I said, that's fine with me. So I was late, so I had to sit in the back. I happened to sit right next to Terry Pendleton's wife and his little son at that time. And so I got to sit back there, and for the first time, for the third time that week, I heard presentation of the gospel, because that earlier that week I had gone to another Baptist church where I had heard it, and then heard it in Sunday school after church, and God was pricking my heart. He says, you know what, you need to do something, you need to make a commitment. And there was something about watching 250-pound burly third baseman, now he's third base coach, stand up there and share his heart and cover the stage with his tears. It'll break anybody's heart. So he, watching that big old baseball player share his heart, and then Tim Cash stand up and share the gospel in a way that I'd never really heard before. And that day I gave my life to Christ. Still go to that church. And the last time I told this story, I was actually sitting in front of a little bit larger group of people, but definitely more daunting. They were all deacons and pastors as they were preparing to ordain me to be a deacon of that church. So, but that's my testimony. And I hope that encourages you for one fact through that testimony, that the one fact remains, that it's more than words. It's a change of heart. It's through your heart that you're saved and not through your words. So.